presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower, CX-4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4, wind southeast, ceiling 1,200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
You know, gang, it's pretty common knowledge that many of the islands dotting the great Pacific Ocean are lonely bits of land, very small and very quiet. Well, when our soldiers were stationed there during the war, USO camp shows helped a lot, and so did movies. And then, of course, there were the Goonie Birds. The Goonie Birds are funny-looking and funny-acting, and they did more than their share in keeping American fighting men in good humor. Many of the naval and marine aviators stationed on the little island of Midway thought the Goonies should have been awarded some kind of a medal for all the entertainment they provided. And what was it about these birds that kept the men so amused? Well, first, the Goonies try to be dignified, but it doesn't come off. The more dignified they act, the more humorous they are. The Goonie Birds even have a dance all their own, which consists of raising and lowering their heads and making a whinnying noise while they clack their bills. Of course, the birds take this dance very seriously, but not so the human flyers. Now, in the matter of hatching eggs, the male Goonie Bird takes turns with the female in sitting, and a lot of eggs were hatched. During the war years, when Midway was a large forward base for the Pacific Command, there were plenty of planes taking off and landing all the time. But even with them as examples, the baby Goonie Birds were slow in learning to fly themselves. They used to like being tossed into the air by the prop wash of the Navy planes. And when the pilot cut his throttle, the birds would spin in, squawking at him. I'll be back later to tell you more about the Goonie Birds, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. As a cloud-flecked afternoon sky casts a weird, ever-changing pattern of light and shadow on the open rangeland of Texas far below, a sleek, streamlined Beechcraft biplane, its powerful engine drumming smoothly, holds a northwesterly course for Lakeville. In the cabin, Tank, Gail Nolan, and young Christopher Cross sprawl comfortably in their seats, relaxing after their arduous adventure in South America, while Hop acknowledges a message shortwave from a nearby radio range station.
443, message received. Kindly relay acknowledgement back to New Orleans. That is all. Over and out.
What was that all about, Hop?
Well, a wind-up.
The wind-up? Of what?
The Lakeville Bell. Everything's wrapped up and tied in a pretty knot.
Well, what happened? Tell us, Hop.
That message was relayed from New Orleans, from John Temple. And he had a report from our embassy in Buenos Aires. They got the army plane we used, and the police finally arrived at Mendez Ranch in Cañada Verde.
Finally. How did they go? By dog sled?
Did they catch Vogel?
Yes, he put up a fight, and, well, he lost.
Oh, I get it.
What about the bell? Did John say what would be done with it?
Uh-huh. The government's taking over.
Gosh, they better. Who else can handle $10 million worth of gold?
And they're turning it back to France, the rightful owners.
Oh, I'm glad.
Hey, easy, Hop.
Oh, sorry, fella.
Almost got me out of my seat. What's the idea?
Just edging over to give that pilot some room. He seems to need the whole sky.
Huh? What pilot?
Back of us on my side.
Oh, I see him. Say, he's got a nice-looking ship. Stinson, ain't it?
Yeah.
Chris. Huh? Don't ever let Aunt Agatha hear you say that.
Say what?
Ain't.
Oh, well, Tank says it.
Well, that's no recommendation. He needs lessons in grammar worse than you do.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Don't drag me into this.
Oh,
Hop, for the love of Pete.
Sorry, but that Stinson keeps edging over on us.
Dope, what's he think he's doing?
First, I thought he wanted to pass us, but he keeps holding back.
He's on the wrong side for passing anyhow.
Our Beechcraft is faster, Hop. Why don't we just pull away?
Well, I'm at cruising speed now, and we're rated higher at cruising than a Stinson is wide open.
That baby must be souped up plenty.
What's he doing now? Still holding back and to the left.
Some hotshot with bright ideas, I'll bet.
Say, there's two men in the cabin. One of them's watching us through field glasses. Hop, look out!
Hang on.
No, ready.
Hop, what's the matter?
The fools cut right over me. They're landing gear. Just missed our fin.
They're over on my side now. Hey, you stupid jerk. Sheer off. You want to kill yourself?
Say nothing of us.
It's fools like them that give private flying a bad name.
Say, what's that funny mark in the fuselage?
Where?
Right in front of the tail section. Sort of a zigzag line in a ring. See it?
Oh, yeah. Looks like a streak of lightning in a circle. You recognize it, Hop?
I never saw it before.
Hey, heads up. They're edging over again.
Ah, that's enough. Brace yourselves.
Hop! Doc, what are you doing?
Giving them some of their own medicine.
They're cutting it awful close, pal.
Let's see if they can take it as well as dish it out.
They're holding hot. We're going to lock wings.
Oh, my
Look
God.
Out!
Oh, brother, that was close. If they hadn't sheared off...
Hop, you took an awful chance.
Sorry, Gail, but I got sore. Where's the Stinson now, Tank?
About 2,000 feet under us. They had enough. They're hightailing it off to the east.
Good riddance.
Now, what do you suppose they were up to?
I should have taken their registration number and reported them to the CAA.
Oh, well, they're gone now. They won't bother us no more. Forget it. Let's relax.
But even as the boys and Gail and Chris settle back in their seats and continue normal flight routine, several miles to the east, in the strangely marked Stinson, the pilot shortwaves a laconic message to an unidentified receiver.
Control 3 reporting. Sighted beach craft on northwesterly course. Registration NC82043. Organization insignia lacking. Successfully completed operation. Have the pictures. Learn home airport and make out necessary papers. That is all.
A half hour later, after the Beechcraft crosses the Texas state line, Hop circles a small private field and settles for a landing.
Fasten your belts, everyone. Turning into the approach.
Say, Hop.
Yes, Chris.
Think we can get something to eat there?
Now, there's a kid after my own heart.
Oh, honestly, Chris, you're getting to be more like Tank every day.
Oh, gosh, I can't help it if I'm hungry, Miss Nolan.
That's the way, Chris. You tell her.
How about speaking for yourself, Tank?
Heads up. Going in. Okay, we're down.
Well, can we get something to eat, Hop?
Well, sure, if they have a lunch counter here.
Which I don't think.
Oh.
See the gas pumps, Tank?
Yeah, over there by the hangar.
Check.
Somebody just came out of the hangar. He's waving us in.
Good.
All clear on the right.
Thanks.
There, we're right in front of the pumps. Cutter.
Okay, let's pile out.
Oh, I'll be glad to stretch my legs.
Here, hold on to my hand, Miss Nolan.
Thanks, Chris.
Where's that fellow you saw?
Huh? Oh, I was here a minute ago. Waved us in on my right.
Anything I can do for you?
Oh, there he is, by the tail.
Gosh, what's he doing there?
Quiet, Chris.
We'd like some gas, please, and will you check the oil, too?
Gas and oil, huh?
Hey, why does he keep looking at our ship like that?
You've got me.
Like to see your card first.
Card?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you mean my pilot certificate?
No, I mean your card. Your organization card.
What are you talking about? What organization card?
Oh, you haven't got one, huh?
Well, no. Not until you explain it, at least.
Don't need any explanations. If you haven't got a card, you ain't in the organization.
So what? Look, all we want is gas and oil.
No gas. No oil.
What?
You heard me. No gas, no oil. And you better get this ship off my field, pronto.
Hey, wait a minute. Come back here.
Get this ship off my field.
What's the matter with him?
There's a little squirt. I got a half a mind.
Tank, hold it.
Huh?
Look at the insignia on the hangar.
Jumping jetties. The bolt of lightning again.
Puzzled frowns lining their foreheads, Hop, Tank, Gale, and Chris stare at the strange emblem. Then, almost as one, turn and examine the line of planes staked out on the apron. Again, each is marked with a jagged streak of lightning. What's this mean? And why have the boys been refused gas? We'll know more in just a moment, gang, so stand by. At the beginning of Hop Harrigan, we were talking about the Goonie Birds. And if there's anything outstanding about the Goonies, it's their independence. When it comes to flying, the bird disregards traffic rules, wind direction, and all other flight requirements. When a Goonie gets ready to take off, he just takes off in the direction he happens to be facing. It's a little different from the average bird, for most of them can start flying from a standing position. The Goonie, however, must build up a little airspeed before he can leave the ground. He does this by running like mad down a smooth stretch of ground, wildly flapping his wings. If he happens to be headed downwind, he'll lumber along for a long distance, often do a ground loop or run full speed into a sandhill. Then he'll get up and, brushing himself off and looking around with that, hey, who pushed me, expression on his face, he'll try again, still ignoring wind direction. Sometimes the Goonie will start his takeoff in the shelter of a building where there's no wind at all. And about the time he gets airborne, he will emerge from the shelter of the structure, go into a side slip, and crash into the ground because of a crosswind. When that happens, the bird usually will walk back to the same starting point and try it again. One naval flyer tells the story of a Goonie bird who decided to practice takeoffs from the roof of a building. He would take off from one end and land at the other, and then he'd walk back and start all over again. Well, he concentrated so hard in his practice, he forgot where he was. And when he decided to stop, he stepped right off the end of the building and fell two stories to the pavement below. Say, gang, all branches of American aviation need flyers and technicians for the future. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Refused gas and oil, apparently because they did not belong to a certain unidentified organization, Pop, Tank, Gale, and Chris were forced to take off again with less than a quarter of a tank of gas in the beach. Now, 45 minutes later, in the growing dusk, Pop circles another small field, preparing for a landing.
In the approach, check your belts. We'd better check that field, too. See if there's any of them lightning marks down there.
Too dark to see.
I'll have to get gas here, organization or no organization. Stand by landing.
That ain't such a big place. There's only that one beat-up looking hangar over there.
See the pumps?
No.
Well, I'll taxi to the hangar anyway.
Hey, somebody just came out of that little shack there.
Look for Jenny. She's got a shotgun.
What in the world?
Pop, maybe we better take off again.
No, we can't, Gale. Our tanks are nearly dry.
What a crummy-looking place this is.
Getting close to the hangar, Hop. He's off.
Right. How's that fellow with the gun?
He's standing in front of the hangar now.
Keep your eyes on him.
Don't worry, I am.
Okay. Chris, you and Gale stay where you are.
Hop, I don't see any of those funny lightning marks here.
That's a break.
Come on, Tank.
Be careful, Hop.
You stay put, Gale.
That guy keeps standing there watching us.
Good evening.
What do you want?
Friendly around here, ain't they? Shut up.
We need gas and oil.
Oh, yeah? Well, stand where you are.
Right. Oh, he's giving the ship a once-over. Are we poison?
Look, we're not members of the organization, if that's what you're trying to find out.
What do you know about the organization?
Well, nothing, but we were turned down about 100 miles away because we weren't members. How do we stack up here?
Just fine, mister, just fine. There's the pump. Help yourself.
Oh, swell. Thanks a lot. Go ahead, Tank.
You bet.
Say, what's this all about, anyhow? What kind of an organization...
Look, mister, don't ask no questions. Fuel up and get out of here fast.
Yes,
no
but...
questions, I said. It ain't healthy if you know too much.
Hey, there's a plane coming in fast.
What?
Hey, there it is. It's diving.
Hey, that jerk, don't he have no sense?
Get down fast!
What's going on here?
We're
going
to be bombed, can't you see? Get down!
The airport manager shouts a frantic warning as the plane swoops low overhead and three small objects tumble out of the cabin. Hop and Tank hit the dirt, immediately recognizing hand grenades in the dim half-light. And also, the now all-too-familiar jagged streak of lightning. Gang, there's deep mystery here, and you won't want to miss a minute of it as Hop and Tank plunge into a rip-roaring new adventure. So tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time. Same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.